35, the special services meeting of February 4th. In attendance, Councilman Retta, Councilman Weiner, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Councilwoman Lisa Diller, Councilman Powers, Councilman Tackett, and myself, Tim Sheldon, and my aide, Angelique Marvellis, is taking the minutes. All in favor of accepting the minutes?
Second.
Second's been, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Okay, on today's agenda, we have two things. It's the park permit update and the update on the Brandywine 100 sewer rehab project. So with the park permit, I guess I'm going to turn that over to Mr. Paul Johnson.
Good afternoon. About 7 or 8 slides here to give you an update on permits office. About this time last year, we took over the permitting responsibility from community services for the athletic fields and stuff like that. So I just wanted to brief you on a couple changes that took place with the permits office and go through these slides just in case you get any calls or inquiries from the public. I did want to bring a couple members of my staff here. Unfortunately, Jeff couldn't make it. He's home. He's back at the office prepping the guys and all the supplies and everything for the storm tonight. So
that's home for the night.
Just to put a face with a name, but Bruce Hunter is here. He's the property maintenance technician who is responsible for the permitting office. I know you probably, guys probably see a lot of the emails, but like I said, I want to put a face with a name. Joe Hamill and Linda Levy are not here. They're seasonal employees that kind of we hire on a part-time basis. It allows us to kind of flex our hours and schedules over there. You'll see as we go through the next few slides. One of the biggest changes that we had is actually the physical location. We used to be located at the Garfield PAL. Now we're actually on the Connor Building or the Base D Complex. And if anybody's familiar with this, this is the door to the left-hand side in between the two vehicles. That's the entrance into like where the credit union is. Mm. Our office is when you go through the door, be to the right-hand side, the first office on the right. Now this is an older picture. We do have some signs up there, you know, identifying it as the permits office and stuff like that. So it's pretty much easy access. On the right-hand side, there's a gate. Obviously, there's plenty of parking out front. And there's a left on the left-hand side. There's another gate, so the public can basically come in, do their thing, and get right out of the complex without wandering all around the complex here.
Mr. Johnson, hold on. I don't know if I don't have it marked down, so I don't know if he said his name. Councilman Streets in attendance here.
I wasn't late either, don't you
think? No, you weren't. You were not late. I just didn't like you down.
And the physical address over there is actually 100 New Churchman's Road. Up top there we have the phone number, which is 395-5362. We also set up a email address directly for the parks permit office and the staffing over there. So if you have a permits related question and don't want to send it to all the wrong people and get bounced around a couple times, send it directly to them. It goes to Bruce, goes to me, Jeff, Bruce, and all the necessary staff and get you an answer relatively quickly. The hours of operation right now, what we're going to start with is 8 to 4 Monday and Thursday, 8 to 6 Tuesday and Wednesday. That's just because we're in a slow period, but ultimately the goal is going to be 8 to 6 Monday through Thursday. Friday we're closed to the public because Bruce is there by himself because we only do use the two part-timers on a limited basis, basically a couple days a week. So, you know, not to say that we wouldn't take a request or a permit from the public, but that's generally a day Bruce is there alone and gets things done without taking a whole bunch of crowd from the public. So some of the projects that we have, the other big thing that we implemented over there, we implemented a new price schedule for the athletic fields. And I can kind of go through this, but when we took over the permits office, there was basically a 4 or 5 tier schedule fee, and they were all based upon how many hours. So if you got 0 to 100 hours, there's this much discount, 200 hours, this much discount, all the way up to 300, 400, 500 hours. Very, very confusing. I mean, half the time, quite frankly, I didn't even understand it because I wasn't over there dealing with it every day as much as Bruce. So what we did and what we decided is just to come up with a flat rate. And that's what we did. And the flat rate is $2.50 an hour for the first 100 hours. And then after that, it's $1 an hour. Now, I know, you know, some of you are probably looking at it and saying, all right, it's awful cheap and giving away, you know, the form, but that's not the case at all. What we actually did was we took the total number of revenue that we've taken in over the past several years, divided it by the hours that our fields are being used, and that's the number we came up with. Now, as a comparison, the state, the state charges about $10 an hour, and they charge an entrance fee, so we're considerably cheaper. But for us to be somewhere in the middle, like $5 or $6 an hour, it was going to quadruple some of the little league fees, and we didn't want to do that. We didn't want to put the little leagues out of business. We don't want to put an undue hardship on some of these nonprofits and people that are out there using our facilities. So we started this flat rate, which can be adjusted incrementally. If we have an increase in salary and benefits or the budget changes, next year we can change it to $2.75, $3. And these leagues can absorb that smaller fee over years instead of hitting them with one lump sum right up front. So that was the thinking behind it. The court games are $4.50 an hour, which still is cheaper than most municipalities or a lot of our other agencies around the state. Pavilions range from $45. That's just generally a standalone. No utilities like up at anybody familiar with the pavilions of the Woodshaven Cruise. Up to 120. They're like the newer self-contained pavilions down at Glasgow that have utilities, a permanent bathroom, and newer amenities. One of the other projects we've taken on, we dedicated a new inclement weather line, as you can see up there. So we can get the word out as soon as possible. If the weather's bad, we're going to shut the fields down. You know, days when it's a deluge or downpour, I mean, it's pretty common practice that people know that we're not going to play. But there's other times when, you know, the sun may be out, the fields are saturated, and we don't want people playing on the soccer and football fields because we don't want to tear them up. So we're going to put the message out on this number so everybody knows what's going on. One of the other things I've tasked Bruce with is coming up with a set of SOPs for the permits office, which I believe are just about 90% complete. So we're doing things consistently amongst our own staff. We're putting the same message and the policies out to the people that pull permits, taking all the discretion out of applying permits to different agencies. So we are fair, we're doing things across the board, and everybody's reading from the same sheet of music. The other thing was update the county codes. At some point, you will see an ordinance coming through about updating Chapter 24, which is the park permits, and it's basically just general housekeeping. It changes in the code, which once identified community services as holding the permits, now to Department of Special Services. So just very basic general housekeeping. I think the attorneys are working on that now to bring that forward at some point in the very near future.
Any questions on this last slide? Like to announce Councilman Cartier is in attendance and has been.
I can go back.
Okay. Well, attack it.
I can do it at the end. How do you want to take them, Paul?
I got a question and the answer at the end. If sure. You know, should only okay. Get a couple more slides.
Sure.
The goals, what we've tried to accomplish with these goals is obviously increased customer service to the product that we deliver to the public. And that's why we set up this weather line, the email address, amongst other things, to make the product that we're putting out there a good quality that the leagues are looking for, and honestly, get more use of our facilities. Another goal, like I said, is the reason we went to the flat rate is a property line of revenue with the expenses. Say, salary and benefits go up, we're in a position now where we can incrementally adjust to compensate. Improve the field quality and integrity. You know, what jumps out is anybody's familiar, and I'm sure Councilman Retta can attest to this, but you know, the soccer fields over at Bain. We need to start shutting them down, rotating them more frequently to get a good stand of grass on there. And that'll actually help us take these out of service and keep those in good players in condition. Encourage more play in our facilities and actually by structuring our fees the way that we did. We put a 4-field max per permit. Because what a lot of leagues were doing to get to maximize their discount, they were reserving 18, 20 facilities that they knew they wasn't going to need just so they could get the maximum discount. And that was discouraging or not allowing other leagues to come in and use facilities that when the books were tied up, but in reality, they really weren't being used. So that's going to increase our revenue just by opening up those facilities. Improve the website and public access. Speaking with the IS department, the website is actually in the process of being upgraded countywide, so we'll take advantage of that when our turn rolls around. And obviously promoting the facilities through social media like Facebook, Twitter, getting the message out there on what we have available and taking advantage of those outlets as well. And here's just a quick rundown of our assets, what mostly gets rented out there. 25 pavilions, we've got 100 basketball courts, 70 tennis, football. And the biggest users are 95 baseball fields. That's the Little League, softball, that's where all the tournaments come in, and the soccer fields. The field hockey, cricket, they're mostly up at our fours. We keep the cricket beams up there and keep those fields in pretty good shape. And roughly, we issue about 1,200 permits a year and generates about $150,000 in revenue, which kind of offsets the salary and benefits that I need to pay and overtime on the weekends to keep these facilities in rentable condition. So it's, we're not trying to run the permits office on a profit basis. We're just trying to balance expenses with revenue and keep the customers happy. And we met with the leagues a couple weeks ago, and we told them we'd be more than happy to provide more service if they're willing to pay more of a fee. So that option's out there as well. Some of the capital projects we have coming up: the Brandywine Springs Bean Pavilion. That's actually this fiscal year. That's being reviewed now for renovations. We're looking at possible addition of a pavilion at Bell Castle. We have a picnic area over there, but it's not being properly or utilized to its full potential. Just basically a few grills out in the middle of the open field over there. But we figure with the addition of a pavilion, we could really maximize the use of that space. Court game renovations at various locations. And they're to be determined. They're not like the playground upgrades where each year you're going to have to do these 5 or 6. The court games, what we're constantly battling with the court games is freeze and thaw and cracks, stuff like that. So after the winter's over and the weather breaks, we have to actually go around and reassess all the court games and see where we're at and make a priority list up for mayor. So that's why it says to be determined. This next one isn't a capital expenditure, but this past year I hired 2 seasonal painters because our painters internally are just inundated with work inside the buildings. I believe we only have a couple painters, so I hired a couple seasonals just to go around and paint fence lines, backstops, things in the parks that are a low priority for our internal painters. So that will continue as soon as the weather breaks around March or April. I'll bring those 2 guys back and we'll continue on. And as most of you know, a lot of our fence lines around the athletic fields are in pretty poor shape, and they do need some maintenance. So we'll continue that just as soon as the weather gets better. Some of the recent projects we just finished over the past year, we did the 3 basketball courts at Dell Castle, 2 at Bechtel, 3 at Paper Mill, 3 basketball at Tally Day, 3 Vort, and 1 at Brandywine Springs. And we did 4 tennis at Paper Mill, 2 at Brevoort, 4 at Beckman. We tried a new concept. I don't think it's new. It's been out for a while. It's new to the county. Over at Banny. I think it's called Petromat, John? Petromat. Like I said, we always deal with these cracks and constantly battle cracks and all they got in the surface. Well, Richard Caven has a new concept out there. It's called Petromat, where they put the tar and they put this mesh down. It's pretty much guaranteed not to crack. So that's the first one we tried. We're going to monitor it and see how it goes. And if it works well, we'll certainly try it other locations. But that was kind of like the pilot program to see how well it works and see how long it takes us to recoup our investment. So if it works, that'll be great, because the 10 years that I've been here, I've tried everything on these cores to try to get them from cracking and breaking and peeling up, and just can't do it. If I ever invented something like that, I probably wouldn't be standing here. I'd probably be a millionaire. That's pretty much it. Questions, comments? I know I went through it relatively quickly, but...
Like Councilman Tackett was first. He had his hand up, and then Councilman Wise.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, Paul... You know, thank you for giving the presentation and showing the vision. You know, sometimes it does take a fresh set of eyes, you know, to look at something like this in order to figure out, you know, what's been stagnant and stale for too long, and, you know, we've got to get it, revamp it and improve it, you know. One thing you were talking about, the permitting office, just kind of struck me as, you know, and one thing that, you know, was kind of missing from your presentation, but perhaps is probably another component of it, was the interactive internet piece. I mean, how much are we trying to direct the public to the internet to, let's say, reserve pavilions that don't need keys, or, you know, reserve feet or the fields? You know, they can go there, reserve it, print their permit out, you know, and then it'll show that it's, you know, a booked and blocked time, and therefore it isn't such, you know, labor intense process where somebody is, you know, and I know you've got quite a few hours there, 8 to 6 or whatever, mm-hmm. but somebody isn't bound to just these times. They could, you know, maybe have a little sleep apnea and remember they've got to reserve, you know, that field for the game coming up. So that's something I think we really, really should be looking at, as some type of, you know.
That's one of the things where we're exploring to try to take more advantage of, where right now, I guess there's a, the exec's office has someone looking at a website for all of Newcastle County, because we want to update not only the parks, but the permits and everything. Now, we use a software program. It's called ActiveNet. It does have an online application where people can go on and reserve. And we taking credit cards now, too, Bruce?
Yes.
Okay.
No, I think I can answer a little bit of your question, sir. We push everybody for online registration for pavilions, because pavilions is a first-come, first-served basis. So you can actually lose your rental if you drive up to me to give your application, and I get online and say I want that. So we push everybody that way. The problem with the fields is, we have to look if who was grandfathered in. We give you to January 31st to give you your application, then you are guaranteed what you had the prior year, because leagues run. So it's hard for somebody to do an online registration request because they don't know who did the prior year. So that's where we come in, and that's why it really isn't online. But the internet is definitely pushed 100% for the pavilion reservations.
How do you handle enforcement? Somebody reserves something or has a permit or, you know, goes out, but yet somebody else is there.
We don't enforce as a permit office. What we do is we supply the right numbers. We have a number in case something's not working, and we give them a non-emergency police line that if they have their permit on them and somebody else is on the field, they're to call that number because there's interaction. We don't enforce.
See, what we've also done too, Councilman, is we have a contractor. It's called Musco Lighting. We're all, you know, Banning and Green Bank, where they have the lights over the athletic fields. That's all wireless now, where we can coordinate the times of the fields with Musco Lighting through the software program. We can actually go in on our smartphones and click the lights on at any of the facilities right now and turn them back on. But another component that they have that we're looking at when we do the pavilion upgrades is they have a wireless key entry, where you can coordinate the open and closing times of the permits through the wireless with what they pulled on the permit. Because right now we're taking a deposit on keys, and they're bringing the keys back, and Lord knows if they're making copies, how many keys are floating around out there. It's something that's really not controlled. But through the wireless, we would have absolute control over that.
Well, in a technology, or an age of technology, like we've just seen, you know, and this is something I'm hoping to see as we move forward with the other departments, almost in a sense what we've seen in the police department. You know, they're just like rolling this out. It's so, you know, they're showing all these numbers, and there's all these changes, and it's something that's, you know, so it's since been lacking in a lot of other presentations in the departments we've seen, but, you know, therefore, there's been challenges in other departments, too, and, you know, you have to overcome them. So, one last thing, Paul. You had mentioned 1,200 permits generated $150,000. Was that what those new fee structure you just put up there, or was
that was a history of the past numbers.
Okay. And I think you referenced that as saying basically that only pays for the maintenance and the overtime. That's not actually paying for the regular maintenance of the fields. It's more for the overtime.
It pretty much pays for everything. Okay. A lot of it's done on street time. That's also captured in there. So okay. It's basically just a wash between the two.
Thank you.
All right. Please remember to state your name for the tape when it's been asked. Councilman Warner and Councilman Street.
Thank you. Councilman Tackett, you asked a lot of good questions, some of which are mine. So let me just say thank you for the great work that's been done. And whoever was involved in this, this was all really good. The other thing I'd like to announce to council is at 4 o'clock at the Technology Committee meeting today, we're going to be showing the new county website. It'll be a hands-on computer demonstration, which will show not only what we've seen in special services, but what's been worked on and beta tested by the administration for the last year or so. So it should be very interesting. I invite you all to come at 4 o'clock today, right here.
Councilman Street.
First, I appreciate everything that you do, everything the department's done, and I don't know whose idea it was to add on to your burden, have you maintain the parks and then cutting the permits, but it makes too much sense. And I'm assuming the administration is giving you staff necessary to be able to do what you need to do, but I appreciate everything that you're doing. The upgrades and the cost and the consideration of little leagues, I think your decisions are excellent, right on time, so I appreciate it. Only thing is, when you go full tech with open and closing bathrooms, make sure you don't lock anybody in.
Anyone else on the subject, on the parks, the permits? Well, thank you. Joe, you got something?
Thank you. Paul brought up about some of the courts that are having cracks and having problems with them. I have one in one of the areas, and it's a basketball court, and really, it's being used for basically a meeting for drugs and hangouts and stuff like that. So what we're going to do in the near future, Paul's going to be and his crew are going to be taking it down. We're going to make a park with some benches and some grills, so we won't have as much problem with it, which is a good idea, and the neighbors are well enthused about it.
That's one thing we talked about in previous meetings and presentations where, you know, we've come to the determination that basketball courts really don't work well in neighborhood parks. So we're trying to keep basketball in the regional and district parks. But unfortunately, you know, some neighborhoods, they have an amenity, they don't want to give it up or whatever. But, you know, any support that you could give us, you know, with trying to get these courts out of the neighborhoods would certainly be appreciated.
Very good. Go ahead. Anybody else? We'll go to the public. I just want to make sure.
Lou Winkle, you had previously researched a synthetic field, perhaps maybe, or at Manning as a result of all the use, and I don't remember ever getting a finality to that. I'm sure the cost had a lot to do with it, but. Has there been any more consideration of
talking about the multi-purpose turf fields? There's a line item sitting there on the capital project. Just a determination needs to be made from the exec's office down, you know, which way to proceed with it. We had to do, obviously, more research on the cost-benefit analysis and where it's going to go. I know there's some drawback at Banning because there wasn't enough parking, and we talked about Delcastle, so I still think all those details need to be ironed out.
Thank you.
Paul, before you leave, when you get back to taking the basketball courts, because that's a good, is just the benches and barbecues going to be permitted, or do you foresee swings or anything like that, or you don't suggest that? Yeah.
No, absolutely not. I mean, things like that are usually first come, first serve, but the more formal amenities like a shelter, a pavilion, stuff like that, where it could potentially cause a conflict if both of us show up at the same time. Mm-hmm. If somebody pulls out a piece of paper and says, hey, I paid for it, I'm entitled to it, that resolves the conflict. But on the normal amenities, I mean, first come, first serve.
Okay.
Yep.
Anybody else? Well, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
For the project, and we know where we're going with that. Very good. Okay, now we'll go to the update of the Brandywine for the 100th time, the Brandywine 100th sewer for the day.
What do I do, Jim? I think everybody's going to get a break today. I'm John Husband, Newcastle County Special Services. Originally, I had tacked on the update to the original 12-year update that we gave back in 12. Mm-hmm. But the only council person that hasn't seen it was Council President Bullock. And after he shook my hand, he took off. So I don't know where he is. So if everybody's okay with it.
Church.
Oh, he's okay. Well, if everybody's okay, I can just jump straight to the update and tell you where we are, because it's a presentation you have already seen. I'm just going to go through it quickly.
Any questions on that? Any problems?
We've
seen on John.
Yeah, that sounds. I'll get you out of here quick. We'll just go through this. It was basically what this showed is what we started out with back in 2001. And what we ended up doing when we got our secretary's order in 03, and then when it was again amended, all the different work that we had to go through, and the investigation and the analysis, which took a lot of time. Back when I gave the 12-year update, we went through all the completed projects that we had gone through, and as you can see, it was quite a few. We actually had 71 projects that were listed as primary priority one projects, but because there was multiple phases for each one of those projects, we had over 292 actual projects. Back then, these were the projects under construction, the ones that were out to be bid, and then I kind of went through these priority one projects and how we were moving forward and how much we had spent to date. Back then it was $100.8 million, and the original estimate back in 2000, we were upwards of $300 million, if you remember that, because we had no idea how bad the system was or how effective we were going to be with our rehabilitation. I went through all the accomplishments that we were actually able to perform, and some of the programs that we were able to institute under that. Two of the biggest ones were the fats, oils, and grease program and the root control. Then we went through our preventive maintenance for the trunk lines, which was an area that wasn't initially hit. And we ended up with this final one where we found that it kind of hampered our social life because we became such good friends, or I shouldn't say good friends, we became very well known in the neighborhoods because of the problems that existed. But with the work that we performed, it got they were so happy, we actually got invites to family events. And as you can see in that last bullet, now that we're out of the communities, we don't get invites to anything anymore. We did what we had needed to do. The NV7 flows, which was the overflow up at Neiman's Creek, that was shut down. NV34 flows, which is the secretary's order to close, which is a direct outfall into the Delaware River. We were directed to close that one. I can tell you at this point, for the last year and a half, we've had no recorded overflows out that pipe, which is tremendous based on the work that we have done. Went through some of the different methods that we used, kind of threw in this is what neighbors didn't want to see when you come in to do work, and the VAC-T, which is something that we were able to put in place that caused minimal disturbance. We could go inside a neighborhood and never have to cause a lot of inconvenience. Went through what our old capacity system was, where a lot of people thought that's all we did was spin our little wheel and tell it whether we had capacity or not, where now we have a full-blown model based on all of our metering, where we can tell in any one area, it's a dynamic model, what is taking place in that line, and we can adjust our actual response to a capacity request through that. we're actually quite happy with that. And at this point, what I will do now is give you an update, which is now a year and a half later. This was the original Priority 1 and Priority 2 projects, red being Priority 1. Definitely needed to have work there to solve our major overflow issues. This is progression through 06 and how we were starting to attack all of those red items. And as you can see, it got bluer and bluer and bluer to this one at 2012 with our plan to have all priority ones completed. This is the latest map that was just developed. It's January of 14. And as you can see, everything priority one-wise is gone as far as either a construction project or something that has been designed and is out to bid or ready to go into construction. The only exception is the little magenta color you see down there, which is the Brandywine line, which runs down towards the Brandywine River. And because of the success we've had in the other areas, that has not become a top priority project. If you remember, these were the projects that we had shown that were under construction. We've crossed them all out, most of them. They are now complete since your last update. The ones that are not crossed out were still under construction. And as you can see, there's only just a few left. The one in red, which I'll go over with you at the very end, is the Governor Prince, which I'm sure you're all aware of that, especially Councilman Cartier. These are the projects that have been that are being awarded, that have gone through the design process. They've been put out to bid, and now they're able to go under construction. And as you can see, some of them have already been moved out and completed, but we're down to these last few projects, a total of about $8 million. You'll find that when you presented our capital budget this coming year, that the budget will reflect the successes that we've had and the fact that we are able to move some of our projects further out into the capital year. With that, that's the actual completion of the projects. There's one item I'd like to go over with you is the Governor Prince. You remember all the calls that came in on that because of the issue we ran into, the trench being 20 feet deep, 20 feet wide, and three gas lines, an oxygen and a nitrogen being extremely close to the trench, which caused us problems, and we actually shut that down. We've just recently completed a restoration of that road with Deldot, so that right now you wouldn't even know we were there, but we do have to go back at some point to complete that project, probably not for another 2 years until we reevaluate our design. And I can't go into a whole lot because of attorney-client privileges, but you're all aware that that's a lawsuit that we're in the middle of right now, but one in which we intend to recoup quite a bit from our design consultant on that one. So with that, I can take any questions.
Okay, Councilman Warner and Councilman Reda.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Kudos. Nice job.
Not me. So.
The whole team?
Yeah, whole team.
What was the original start year? Was that 2001, 2002?
2000 is when we actually started to do our own study.
And when did we start construction? Rehab.
We went through a lot of study. I'm going to say we actually started construction in 04, 05.
And originally we were talking about 20 years.
It was a 20-year plan.
Possible for a 20-year plan. And as we went through it, we were originally talking about $300 million. Mm-hmm. And then you gave us progress reports, and as we went through, we began to realize that we were gaining more from the projects than we thought. It was coming out on the better side. So the cost began to drop, and the amount of projects began to drop, although we ended up front-end loading a lot of projects that were priority that originally weren't, just because of the nature of the beast. Then I want to make sure I have this straight. So the actual start date was, let's say, 2004-2005. Right now, we've got three projects in Brandon 100 left, from what I gather. One in Claymont, the old Shellpot Phase 2, and Fairfax Lateral Rehab. Those are the three that remain.
In the north.
In the north.
Yeah.
Which is Brandon 100.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so as of the beginning of 2014, we just have those three projects left.
Pretty much, yes.
And what would be the timeline, to the best of your estimate, of when we'll finish those three projects?
Well, it's going through the process now. It's where we have to get approval and get this contract signed and the bidding completed. It's hard to say with the load that we have right now, but within the next year or two.
Okay, well, I was just looking for a ballpark. Within the next year or two. So we're looking on the out at maybe 2016 at the most.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to declare this a great success. I want to tell you that it was World War III, as Councilman Cartier and I can attest to, not only particularly with Governor Prince, but certainly with Surrey Park. It was a rough time, and we all learned a lot going through it. So my appreciation on behalf of my constituents and for all taxpayers throughout the entire county.
Except the Surrey Park.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we did have problems there. It was a rock issue. But, you know, when you're talking $100 million worth of work that's going on,
right,
we just always running into glitches.
And we need to know that we do test drilling in Brandy 100 at more regular, smaller intervals. Those of us that live in Brandy 100 know there's a lot of rock there. So it wasn't surprising, but we learned a different protocol as a result.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Dynamite. Okay, Councilman Renna, and then Councilman Cartier.
Thank you. John, in the tackle on something that Councilman Weiner said about the rock and all, we had a problem with one of the contractors when they did a sounding, and they ran into some rock and different things, and they wanted extra money. When we put out these bids, aren't they supposed to put in their bid that's for the rock underground, that they do a sounding on this?
When we do the bids, and in the one that you're probably talking about, there was a clause that was not in there where the information, that you can't rely on the information we get. We extensively did a study, and we told them that they could rely on that, and as it turns out, that there was bad information on it. So that's one of the reasons why. And we're still...
But what are we doing with the future bids? What are we doing with the future bids? Because we're still in Brandon 100. Brandon 100 is loaded with rock. It's always been that way. I know a contractor that worked on 95 and how deep that is, how thick it is. And one of the reasons why it's so thick is so they can land a plane on it. It's actually what it's for. And they had to do a sounding on that. And they don't do a lot of these contracts that we're doing now. And they did 95, a lot of it. They didn't have a problem.
We've written our contracts now where we do initial study work. We provide that information, but we tell the contractor that it's going to be their responsibility to verify the information and do whatever they feel is necessary to accept the responsibility for their bid once it goes in.
So it's not going to run into. So it's not going to run back on us again.
Right.
Okay, because it doesn't make sense. I mean, the way it's been going out.
Yeah, sometimes it's a double-edged sword with that. When contractors are given full responsibility, they load it up.
Oh yeah,
because they're not. So sometimes, and then they don't hit it. And next thing you know,
CYA
paid. They make out.
Yeah, they're CYA, I mean, and that's what they're doing.
Back and forth.
I think Councilman Cartier.
Thanks. It's the Brandy 100 rehab is an important project from the standpoint of protecting public health of citizens in Brandy 100, protecting our local water quality. And it's been a great laboratory to learn, for this government to learn how to do large scale sewer rehab, contract administration, and all technologies that go into doing these types of projects, where in the past you trenched and put new piping in, now we've got lining in place and sealing, and the CCTV process where we do reconnaissance to find out where areas are having really bad problems and prioritize. So I think it's been a great laboratory that will stand this government well, because it's 750 miles of sewer in Brandywine. We've got another 1,000 in the system that we're going to have to address with rehab, in not too distant future. So, it's been, I think Special Services has done a great job, especially with the budget estimate. Now we're coming down probably less, about a third of what we originally projected as spending required. So that's been another great, achievement. I guess the two questions I have are, number one, I know the Governor Prince project is extremely important. That's sort of the main, sewer interceptor conveying all the way down to the treatment plant in Wilmington. It's a large pipe deep in the ground that we're having to create an entirely new parallel system for. And my question is, I understand we're going to be, some time delay getting at this, but do we have a... have we put out an RFP for a new engineering consultant to kind of figure out how we're going to redesign this, or are we still...
We're actually waiting on that.
Okay.
Because of some information we got. We don't know how reliable it is.
Okay.
But those Lindy lines...
Right.
They,
the 2 6-inch gas lines in there.
They shouldn't be where they are.
Right.
And if they... have to be moved, we can use the same plans we had and save a lot of money in redesign. So we're just going to wait a little bit.
Who's going to make that determination?
They're in the DelDOT road, so it's a DelDOT franchise. They're the ones that have control over it. I know they wanted to just get the repaving done first, so the residents were not inconvenienced any longer. So we're waiting to see.
Right.
We'll keep up a dialogue with them.
Yeah, and I'll make sure that our state legislators concerned are aware of that as well, because their easement agreement is lapsed, is what you're saying.
The county executive actually wrote a letter to the governor letting them know that there was an issue with those gas lines within the travel lines.
Okay. Good thing to know. The other question I have is, so we have the one overfall or overfall ND34. When do you expect? You're not seeing any flow out of there anymore, and overflows. When do you expect to actually close that off? Is that in the program?
It is. The secretary's order says that by 2018, it has to be closed off for all intents and purposes. SAC report in. Even though we've not shown any readings yet, because of the success we've had, if we were able to finish that Governor Prince job up to the limits that we had before, that provided the 78-inch pipe and a 36-inch parallel pipe, then we'd feel very confident that that flow, we could just eliminate it. We would never need it.
Hmm.
So we still have time with that.
Okay. Good.
For the record show, Councilman Hollins is here.
Thank you.
Councilman Weiner?
Yes, just one quick question. Can you send a link to the PowerPoint?
Jim always steals it from us on those, so you have it. See,
okay.
Mr. Boyle.
Is he here?
He even has Paul's on there. Paul doesn't know it. That's his practice. Didn't you know that? Every time he takes somebody's PowerPoint, he downloads it. You guys have it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Pirates.
Mr. Whoop Street.
Well, I know that the councilmen who represent the area have been working on this, and I know it's complicated, but I'm not so sure at this point. We're still not oversimplifying it. And the need to work with all concerned parties, because it's still complicated. If gas lines have to come out, gas lines have to go somewhere. And when you're dealing with rock, and I know it's just a little community center, but the experience I had, you drill, you dig, and you still don't know. And then when you get there, you think it's one size, it's another size. Now how are you going to get it out? Are you going to split it? Can you blast it? And where you are, you can't do a whole lot of blasting. So it's still going to be a nightmare for whoever has to put in another line somewhere to do something. And the inconvenience is going to be the same. And need to coordinate is still going to be the same. I mean, it may work for us if you got to move the gas line so you can drop a sewer line there, but the gas line's going to have to go somewhere, I think. So I don't think it's simplistic at all, and I think it's going to be, it just needs to be insensitive with all the players at the table, including engineers, and maybe folks who haven't been involved, make some new engineers, some new experts. So that's just my two cents thinking out loud. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anybody else? Anybody from the public? If not, thank you very much, John. Okay, we have anything under other? Public comment? Motion for adjournment is in order.
Second.
Move, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Land use is at 3.